In His Footsteps is our theme. You're aware of that. In His Footsteps, our theme of following Jesus in His footsteps. And today, I am the gate. We've looked at some of the I am statements. So I thought I would build this incredibly wonderful structure here. As Andrew Muir walked in and said, I am the palate. Thanks, Andrew. Wonderful. But just, sometimes it's really good to have an object lesson to look at it. And I'll explain it more as we go. So I am the gate in that thinking. And some of you said, this is the new crash. I said, okay. So I just want to lead us into a time of prayer now and ask God to show us what He wants us to see in this understanding of I am the gate, what it means for us personally. So let's pray. Lord, I mentioned a few moments ago where I talked to a young lady about that incredible necklace, the beauty of the struggle of the cross, but the beauty of the love that you went through for that. And then I talked about a couple that were close to us that died in him being 101 and she being 98. And just a celebration of that. Your cross, your death, your resurrection brings life and hope to each one of us in our journey. Because you paved the way for us to have an incredible future. So today, Lord, as I speak about what this passage means, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us individually about what it means to see you as the gate and how incredible it is that you open the doorway between heaven and earth, that doorway so that we can hear your voice, so that we can be in relationship with you, that we have a future and we have a hope. Evil is all around us. Struggles are all around us. But if we keep our eyes focused on you, we will see you as the way and the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I am the gate. We've looked at the I am. So I'm going to keep going through this. You guys, hopefully you're getting saturated in it, you know, the I am statement. So what's the first one here? I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the door, the gate. So today we're going to be looking at that one, right? The next one, I am the shepherd. Yep. This one, I am the resurrection and the life. This one, the way, the truth and the life. And this one, the vine. Some say the grapes, of course, but the vine to be in them. So I keep introducing them. So one day you'll go, oh yeah, I know them all. Right? So we work through it. So now I'm going to read John 10, where we get the imagery or the understanding of Jesus talking about the gate. So in John 10, Jesus says, very truly. Now, whenever Jesus makes that comment, either truly, truly, or very truly, he's making it as an absolute statement. Like this, you got to understand this. I tell you, Pharisees. Who's the audience? Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? The religious leaders. All right, so he's challenging them. All right, when you read the Bible, stop and look at some things that stand out. Jonah, when you read it, stop, look at it. Jonah's in my Bible study group, so he gets it. All right. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen. Now, what does that all mean? How do we look for sheep in Australia? How do we round up sheep in Australia? Sorry? Send the sheepdogs, don't we? Yeah. Or a motorbike, you know, we go chasing around, you know, we chase them and we try to push them and run behind them and chase them around. Yeah? That's how we look after sheep in Australia. That's how we round them up. Now there's some goats here, of course, but there's sheep and the goats going through there. So we here in Australia, we round them up. We chase them and we round them up. Is it a personal relationship with the sheep? Do we talk to our sheep? Do we, you know? Not really, is it? It's not really the way it works. But we're going to look at that in a bit more of a cultural context. So we're going to look back at the passage. I read it quickly and I'm going to go back and help you understand a bit more. "Very truly, I said to you," this is a truthful statement. Who's the audience? Pharisees. "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber." So, okay, in your imagination, I have a fence here and this is a gate, right? If I was to enter through the gate, that would be right, wouldn't it? What would it look like if I tried to enter over the side here? Hey, funny, of course. Do you want me to try? No, I don't think I'll try. It's structurally, yeah, some say my legs are long enough, but coming in through the side. Now, often the fences in ancient times were more out of rock and stone. Because what we don't understand is, especially in the Middle East, the sheep and the shepherds were more in a desert type of zone. I'll show you what that means in a little while. It's a bit more of a desert type zone. And so you didn't have the timber. You didn't have the timber available. And if you had any wood, that would be for the shepherds to burn a bit of wood for the night just to keep themselves warm. So your fences were more as rock, and so having that in place. So I'll explain it all as we go, and you'll understand a bit more. So the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So having the gate is the shepherd place. Climbing over the rock meant you were doing the wrong thing. The gatekeepers open the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, this is Judean valleys, right? Do you see much timber there? No. But this is where the sheep would go. When we go to Israel and to Jordan and places, when you look for the shepherd, this is more the landscape that you have. When David talks about leading us to streams of water and pastures green, in our minds we're often thinking of, you know, beautiful place in Australia, lots of grass. It's not the case over here. So here I want to explain something in an understanding. When he talks about going to the gate and calling his own sheep, it works like this. You had areas of fences made out of rock, as I mentioned, because there's no timber. And as a shepherd, you would have your own sheep, your own fold of sheep. And at night, you were worried about wolves and other things wild dogs and other things. So you would bring your sheep to a pen. But there were other shepherds with their sheep in the pen as well. So it was like hiring. It would be very cheap. So somebody would be there manning the gate. Somebody would be there manning the gate, and the shepherd would bring their sheep into the fold, and then there would be others in there as well. Do you get the concept now? It's like hiring it's a bit strange. Going to a caravan park, all right? Bringing your children in the caravan and parking them in there, right? But you have to pay at the gate, don't you, to go in and park. It's not the best analogy, but that's the thinking, all right? So you've got now a fence of rock, you've got a gate, you've got somebody who's managing the gate, and you've got your sheep in there and other people's sheep in there. So Jesus is giving those words when he talks about this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. Do you understand what's taking place here? He calls them out. And when he has brought out his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Have a look at the difference. What do we see here? What do you see? Where's the shepherd? At the front. Do we do that in Australia? What do? Motorbikes, dogs chasing. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. I'm not talking about the shepherd passage, I am the shepherd, but I'm just talking about I am the gate. But you need to understand what's taking place here. So a shepherd could walk to the front of the gate and have some sort of a whistle maybe, do that special whistle, or just speak out loud, and his sheep, who knew him and knew, like, this is my shepherd, he'd say, hey, come on, we're going. And the sheep in the pen would come and follow and go through the gate and follow the shepherd. But the other sheep, for the other shepherds, would stay in there. Can you imagine that? We normally have to, push into one side or whatever. But this is a personal relationship the sheep have. Now, we've seen this ourselves when we've been in the Judean hills. And what they do, the shepherds, they'll have a bit of food in their hands and they'll walk with it behind their back like this. What do you think the sheep do then? They're hungry, and they're like, got a bit of food behind them, and the sheep stay up behind them. But the shepherds are with them 24/7. When we talk about David being the shepherd and he's out there looking after the flocks and the sheep and how he got good with the sling, he's bored, but he's there with them all the time. So the sheep knew him and he knew the sheep. He was the protector. Are you getting what's taking place here? What Jesus, see, we don't get it so much here, but when we give these messages and things or people like in Uganda and other places that are real in the farms, they get when Jesus talks about this really, really well. And so when Jesus is talking to these people, they get his story really well. They understand it. Do you understand what's taking place? He's coming in. When he stands in front of the gate, he calls, and his sheep that know him by name come running out. And so he's saying that specifically to who's the audience? The Pharisees. Now, we'll explain more about that in a sec. In verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Remember I said when the shepherd can stand here, call his own sheep and they will follow him? But if a stranger said, hey, you guys come, and they're not interested, stranger's voice. Now, Jesus uses this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus then has to do it again. So this is a double picture here. So one, he's talking about calling the sheep. The next, well, I've got to put this one up. The Pharisees don't understand what you're talking about. All right. So the next part is this. Therefore, Jesus says to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. So 1 minute he's talking about calling on his sheep. So he's going to go even further. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Okay. So Jesus moves it to something even more powerful in the thinking. Jesus becomes the gate. Why is this really significant? Jesus becomes the one you enter and leave through. Safe place, or go out into pasture. Jesus is the one that will tell then the sheep what's safe and what's not. Are you getting the picture? I am the gate. I'm the safe one. I will keep you protected at night. The wolves, the trouble, the struggle, I am the gate. I will protect you. But when it's all safe, I'll let you go out. Come and eat, and then I will be your gate, your protector. Now, Jesus is challenging the Pharisees at this time because he's saying to them, people are coming to you, the Pharisees. They're coming to you to the temple. Why? Because they're struggling with their sin, they're struggling with their suffering, they're struggling with their pain. They're coming to you at the temple because they're looking for a place where healing can take place, healing of their inner hurts, their struggle, their pain. And Jesus is challenging the Pharisees, people are coming to you because sin is so hard, and they're coming for forgiveness, they're coming for healing, and you Pharisees are leading them astray. You're all about money. You're all about power. You're not giving them an understanding of who the gate is or the protector. So Jesus is saying, I am the gate. The ones who truly want to know where healing can be found, the ones that truly want to know where the difference of safety and life and protection comes from, it comes through me. Anybody who's going to jump over this fence is just going to rob and steal. They haven't come through the right way. See, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief wants to jump over to rob, kill, and destroy because it hasn't come through the gate, the legitimate way. Satan is here to destroy you, to steal from you, to take from you. Those who have power and control over you are here to steal and take and destroy. The world is a mess, mostly because people are trying to steal, take, destroy, and steal and take it all from you. See, when evil comes in a darkness. Evil's not going to try and jump the fence during the daytime. People will see it. But evil will want to jump at night. Helen and I have a property, you know, out in the bush, right? And we got 100 acres. But when trouble comes is at night, when the foxes come round or the wild dogs, even some of the feral cats and other things like that, they come round. We've got some wild pigs that come round. They come round at night. Why do they come at night? They come to steal, rob, and destroy. Not during the day. Evil wants to come at night in the darkness. So we've got to recognize Satan wants to kill, rob, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life. We should be excited. We've had Easter not long ago. We're coming up to Pentecost next Sunday coming. We should be excited that Jesus showed us what it was to die and come back to life again. We should be excited about that place where he has risen. Amen? Are we awake? Are you excited? A little bit? A lot? In between? We should be understanding that he is the gateway that leads us, that he has conquered death, that he is risen from the grave, that he is the one that wants to take us on a powerful journey. And he does that through our faith and understanding of who he is. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." It's a promise coming through. It's a promise coming through from Jesus. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, he doesn't want to leave us, you know, stranded, not having a safe place to go into. But he is the gate. No one comes to the Father except through me. Exclusive statement. True statement. He is the answer. He is the gate. He is the way through, and he wants you and I to know that today again, that he is the one that protects us. So we're learning, and we need to keep learning about who he is. All the I am statements gives us an incredible understanding of who Jesus is. We have to live it in such a way to be excited about what Jesus has done. Because he says he gives us an abundant life. I talked to you a little while ago about this couple that I knew as children. Many of you would say I should be grieving. I'm not grieving. I'm not grieving because I know for 101 and 98, I know where they are. I'm not grieving that. Their faith journey has been powerful and amazing. They have had an abundant life. You too can have an abundant life because Jesus wants to give you an abundant life. Abundant life is hope. I was talking to someone else this morning that had lost their husband a few years ago. But their hope, their joy is one day they're going to see their husband again. And that gives hope. And that gives an abundant life because we've got something to look forward to. And then give somebody else that place where they can be there and you lead them on that pathway. Jesus says, come, follow in his footsteps. Take someone else on that journey as well. He is the gate. And he loves you and wants to protect you and take you on a powerful journey because he's sick of what Satan has done. He's sick of what evil has done, and he come to bring us hope. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the gate. Thank you for being the gate. Thank you for having that place where your sheep hear your voice. Pray this morning, Lord, that we can hear your voice to a greater extent. The world is distracting us in all different directions. Make more money, get an incredible career, go build a bigger house, get more, you know, bigger car, have all these things that are all put in place. And they just still leave us feeling flat. But you, Lord Jesus, come in to take away that weight, that load, and say, come follow me. Come and hear my voice. I will lead you on a journey that's amazing, and I'll give you a fresh hope and a fresh desire. So, Lord Jesus, allow us to know your fresh hope, your desire this morning, to understand that you are the gate, that you will protect us from evil, and that you will also guide us to safe places. How? By listening to your voice. So, Lord Jesus, please speak to us louder. Help us to stop and listen, because we get so busy in the things around us. Help us to stop and listen to what you're actually saying to us. Because it's not that you don't speak, it's that we often don't stop and listen. Give us the ability, please, to stop and listen to more of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.